Shir is Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. We will begin on Daf Kuf Chav Vav on the base at the Gemara. Yesterday we had learned in the Mishnah that on Shabbos, although it's usur to move boxes of the Dechol, Tircha, excessive exertion, however, Bnei Orchim, if they're a guest, or Bnei Bittel Beis HaMedrash, for a shear, the halacha is they may be moved. And the Mishnah said, Abba v'chomish kupas, four or five boxes may be moved. Ask the Gemara, hash the chomish mefanim, if you're allowed to move five boxes, Abba m'boy, you're certainly allowed to move four boxes. So why does the Mishnah say both four or five boxes may be moved? Answers the Gemara, Amr of Chizda, Abba m'chomish. First thing the Mishnah is telling us is that if there are only five boxes, only four boxes may be moved. Why? Because if you're going to move all of them, all five boxes, then you will have the entire floor exposed. And the halacha is that if the entire floor, you're not going to have the entire floor exposed because we're afraid of shvuya gumas. If you have the entire floor exposed, you may come to fix the floor. The chomish, mitzvah gadol. If you have a large warehouse, so you'll have to take out five boxes. Even though here there's no problem that the floor will be exposed because there are many boxes left. But, says Rav Chizda, the Mishnah is teaching us that the maximum amount of boxes that may be moved are five. Now in the Mishnah yesterday, the Mishnah used the word avaloyas oitzer, which we did not explain. Now ask the Gemara, my avaloyas oitzer. What is the definition when the Mishnah says loyas oitzer? Shlo yascha oitzer tchila. You're not allowed to begin taking produce out of a warehouse that was never begun to be used. Omani, according to whose psak is this? Rabbi Yehuda he dislay muksa. It goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, who has a very broad definition of muksa, and including in his definition would be a warehouse of food that was never used before cannot be begun to use on Shabbos. Why? So it goes back to the explanation we said the other day. Rabbi Yehuda, with his broad definition of muksa, holds that for Shabbos, v'ichinu, preparation is required. If you have a warehouse that was never previously used, that warehouse certainly doesn't fall under the category of a chinu, of being prepared, and therefore the halacha is that you're not allowed to empty it out on Shabbos. Shmuel has a very different explanation in the Mishnah. Shmuel says, Abba v'chamish, when the Mishnah says 4 or 5, it doesn't mean specifically 4 or 5. Kedami inshi, like people say 4 or 5, you know, just to say a number, but it doesn't mean specifically 4 or 5, and therefore, v'boyi, I feel tuvanam mifanim. If you need, you can take out even more than 4 or 5. Ask the Gemara, when it's said in the Mishnah, v'loyas oitzer, you're not allowed to empty out the entire warehouse. What does it mean according to Shmuel? It means, shlo yigmar kulay. You should not empty it out entirely. Why? As we explained earlier, the concern is, because if you empty it out entirely, the floor will be exposed, and we'll see that we're afraid that you may come to straighten out the floor. To begin emptying out a warehouse, there the halacha is that you may. Why? Because mani, according to Shmuel, how will we explain the Mishnah? The Mishnah is going according to Shimon, the Lesley Muksa, who has the more limited version of Muksa, and will say that this is Mutter. Begins the Gemara. Tana Rabban. Emaschil ba'oitzer tchila. We're not allowed to begin taking out the produce from a warehouse on Shabbos. Aval oitzer ba'shvil kadeshi konis v'yoitzer. But you can make a path with in an unused warehouse. Ask the Gemara, Oysa Bashvil, how could you tell me that you're allowed to make a path through such a warehouse? V'amit Eimaschil, and we just said you're not allowed to start emptying out the warehouse, because obviously this Brisa holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, Hachikama. This is the way you have to limp shine the Brisa. Oysa Bashvil Baraglov, you can make a path with your feet, kicking the food out of the way with your feet, when you're coming in and you're going out. So there's a very fundamental machloikis between the Chazon Ish in the Mishnah Berura based on this Gemara. The Chazanish says, over here we're moving the muksa by kicking it, which is an example of tilta kalachiyad, moving not in the normal way. Yet what says the Chazanish, it's only permissible if I'm walking, and as I'm walking I'm kicking the muksa out of the way, I can move it that way. But just to move the muksa by kicking would be osur, says the Chazanish. The Mishnah Berurah is more makel. The Mishnah Berurah says, since I'm not moving the muksa in the normal way, I'm only kicking it, even if my entire purpose in doing this is just because of the muksa, that means, let's say I have some muksa item in the way, and I just kick it out of the way, or not because I want to make a path, just because that's the way I want to move it, the Mishnah Berurah says you would be allowed to move muksa that way. Tan Rabban, Tavura Tzibura, piled grain. Bizman Sheskub Ma'ariv Shabbos, if somebody started using from it before Shabbos, that loch is mutl stopping men of Shabbos, you could continue taking from this grain on Shabbos. Mimlav, otherwise, also stopping men of Shabbos, you're not allowed to take from it on Shabbos. Divrei Rav Shimon. That's Rav Shimon. Rav Acha Mater. Rav Acha says, it makes no difference if you began before or during Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Klapalaya, just the opposite makes sense. Because as we explained earlier, we know Rav Shimon is the makel in Hilchas Muksa. But according to this price, Rav Shimon's machmer, and he's saying only if he began taking out of the warehouse from before Shabbos. Says the Gemara, El Eimer, correct. You have to change what the price says. Divrei Rav Acha. Rav Acha is the one that says that unless you began taking from the warehouse before Shabbos, you may not begin on Shabbos. Rav Shimon Matar, Rav Shimon says, even if you didn't begin before Shabbos, you may begin on Shabbos. Tana, we learned in a brisa, kamashir tvur tzibura, what is the amount that's considered piled grain? Says the brisa, lesach. A lesach is a half a kor, or Rashi says 15 tsar. A pile containing less than a lesach is not considered warehouse, and is therefore not considered muksa, even according to Rav Acha. Bar minei Rav Nachumini ben Zechari mi Abaya, shir tvur tzibura kama. What is the shear of piled grain? The same answers. Amr loy haray amr shear tefura tzibura. What is the shear? Lesach. Lesach. Ebayuhu. So they asked the following shayla. And the Rishonim explain that this question is according to Rav Chisda's explanation of our Mishnah. The Rav Chisda in our Mishnah explained that when it says four or five boxes, it means only four or five boxes, whatever the circumstances are. Now the Gemara asks like this, Hani Ab v'chamesh kupas tekomer, these four or five boxes that our Mishnah allows us to move, what is the halacha? Ba'ab v'chamesh kupas in tfei loy, does the Mishnah say you're only allowed to move four or five boxes, specifically four or five boxes? Alma levuta b'lucha adif, because the best is to walk as least as possible. Oy, maybe it's better to carry less heavy packages. So where do Rishonim explain this Gemara's question is like this. Yes, we're only allowed to carry four or five boxes, as we learned in the Mishnah. And certainly, the Mishnah tells us I could carry all four or five boxes, make the room, whatever I need to do. However, ask the Gemara now, if I have a choice, I can either carry the four or five boxes and make the room, but it'll involve carrying heavy boxes. But what will be the advantage? I won't have to walk that many times. Or I could take that material that is in these four or five boxes, break it up into smaller packages, and therefore not have to carry any heavy package. What will be the advantage? The advantage is that I'm not carrying heavy packages. What will be the disadvantage? I'm going to have to walk more. So what is that an option? Is that something somebody should do? Or should you just carry the four or five boxes, as the Mishnah says? Toshma. Tani Chad, we learned the one brisa. Mevanim afila arva v'chamish kupas, shakadi shem v'kadi yayin. You can move four or five boxes that have jugs of oil or jugs of wine. Yet there's another brisa. You should carry 10 or 15 containers. My lav. So don't we have two contradictory brises? My lav alchemifki. How are we going to explain these two brises? The mass over, the first brise that says take four or five boxes, holds muti biluchadiv. It's better to walk less. And therefore, even though these boxes will be quite heavy, that's the best thing to do, rather than walking often. It's better to carry small boxes. Therefore, he holds, take out the material from the big boxes and put it into the small boxes and don't carry big boxes. Says the Gemara, Loi. The Kul Am Muti Beluchi Adif. It could be that everybody will agree it's better to carry big boxes and walk less often. Don't say pshat in the second brice means that you carry 10 or 15 boxes. The boxes you should always carry only 4 or 5 boxes. A kadin koi, it's going on the barrels, pitchers that are in the boxes. V'lekashin, this is the way to explain the two brices. Hod mishtigle chad chad bekupa. When you have big pitchers, so there's only room for one pitcher per box. So that's when the brice says, carry out 4 or 5 boxes. Sometimes you have smaller pitchers, so two pitchers can fit into a box. That's when you carry out 10 pitchers, but also only in 5 boxes. And sometimes you can put 3 pitchers into a box when they're very small. But the kur de hafina, like the pitchers of hafina, which were small jugs, then you can put 3 into a box. But you should always carry out less boxes, even though they're heavier, because we don't want you to walk too much. However, Tosfos says, sometimes, even though that's the way the Gemara is saying, walking less, even though it involves carrying bigger boxes, if preferable, Tosfos says that sometimes carrying big boxes is a zelus of the Shabbos. It's very obvious that you're not putting proper respect into Shabbos, and there it's better to carry smaller packages. Continues the Gemara. And again, the Rishonim say, this Gemara's question is again according to Rav Chisda's understanding of our Mishnah. Hani Av V'chamesh Tekamar. The 4 or 5 boxes that were mentioned, Avgav de Islay Turche, Urchen Tuva, is that a maximum? Even if the person has many guests, he's limited to 4 or 5 boxes. Oidim Ahakal Afi Archim. It could be that Rav Chisda will agree that the Mishnah agrees that if a person has many guests, he could take on more boxes. If you're going to say that we do take the amount of guests into consideration, and we could take more than 4 or 5 boxes under those circumstances, what is the halacha? Should one person clear away for everybody? Or perhaps it's better that each person clears away 5 boxes, but not one person doing all the work. Toshma, Dom Rabbi Arab Chia, Pamachas Holy Rabbi Lamak Method. Once Rabbi came to a certain place to say a shir on Shabbos, V'ra Machak Dokhla Tamidim, and he saw that the place was too cramped. There wasn't enough room in the building, in the room, for the shir. V'yotzla Sada, so he went to the field and said, we'll say the shir outdoors. However, Matzah Sada Malaya Imrim, he found the field full of bundles of produce. V'ima Rabbi Kala Sada Kula. So Rabbi went and cleared away the entire field. Similar story. Rabbi Amar Abayishya. Pamachas Holach Rabbi Chil Mokamecha. Once Rabbi Chil came to a certain place, V'ra Mokam Dokalik Tamidim, he saw the place was too cramped to say the shir. V'yotzla Sada Matzah Sada Malaya Imrim. He went out to the field and saw it full of bundles. V'ima Rabbi Kala Sada Kula. And Rabbi went and cleared away all the bundles from the field. So we see Shmamina Hakol Lefi Archim, that it goes according to the number of people. So since there were a lot of Talmidim here, so they didn't just move 4 or 5 boxes, they cleared out the entire field. However, says the Gemara, that only answers the question, do we take the amount of people into consideration? And we're saying we certainly do. However, Chad Gavri Mafnu Lekula, but we still have the same question. Does one person do all the work? Do we want each person to do the work individually, not one person doing all the work? Tashma, so says the Gemara, isn't that part of the story? V'ima Rebbe cleared out the whole field. So you see, it's okay, or maybe even better, that one person should do all of the work. Ask the Gemara, Utameich, Rebbe B'dinash Yimer, is this proof, a viable proof? So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, Rebbe was the Nasi. Is a Nasi going to clear out an entire field? El Tziva V'imer, what it means is that he told his attendants to clear out the field. But there were many people that did the work, because you don't want one person doing all the work. There are two questions on halacha here. Here we say that the entire field was cleared out on Shabbos. Now the field is a carmelus. And the question is, this is the way Rashi in the Bir Halacha Paskins this way, learns the Gemara. If a field is a carmelus, how could you carry packages in a carmelus? And even if you'll say that they were carried pachas midal amos, they were carried less than 4 amos at a time, still the halacha is, we learned, that in a carmelus you should not carry less, even less than 4 amos at a time. So how could they carry in the field? So here we see that a shvus to shvus, we have two derabbanans. One derabbanan is that it's a carmelus, and another derabbanan is that it was pachas midal amos, is permissible but makom mitzvah. Here was a makom mitzvah in order to say a shir. Now there's another question. We know that ma'amr, making bundles, is one of the lamatas malachas. So the question is, how could they make bundles of the grain in the field? There's an issa ma'amr. So some paiskim attempt to say that they made the bundles without tying them together, and that the issa ma'amr is limited to when you tie the bundles. However, most paiskim disagree with that approach, because they say that ma'amr is even when you don't tie the bundles. So they want to say that the issa ma'amr only applies when you, if you collect the bundles in the place that they grow. But if you collect bundles in a place where they don't grow, not in makom giduloi, there is no issa ma'amr. And that's what happened here. These bundles were being collected not in the place that they grew. So we learned in the Mishnah, when could these boxes be moved? Mipnei Archim, because they're a guest, or Mipnei Bittel Beis HaMedrash, or in order to say a shir. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, G'doyla Hachnosos Archim, taking in guest, is even greater, is as great as Kishkomis Beis HaMedrash is getting up to learn. The Tani, because what did it say in our Mishnah? Mipnei Archim, or Mipnei Bittel Beis HaMedrash. The Mishnah equates guest to learning. Rav Yadir Ma'adar goes a step further. He says, Yois Meshkamas Beis HaMedrash. Greeting guest is even greater than getting up for shir. Doktani, because what does it say in our Mishnah? Nubnei Archim. First reason, which means it's more important, is guest. Only afterwards, V'hadar Bnei Bittel Beis HaMedrash, because of learning. So, there's a machloikus here. The Rif quoted in Dein Yaakov says that when the Gemara says that Achnosos Archim is equal or greater than Bittel Beis HaMedrash, does not mean that taking in guests supersedes learning. The Rif says it means like this. A person should normally try to learn in shul or in yeshiva. However, when he has an option, he could learn at home and also do Achnosos Archim, or go to... So then he should learn at home. However, according to that riff, certainly a person should not learn for Achnosos Archim. The Chavetz Chaim, however, in the Chavetz Chesed, says La Locha, as it seems from this Gemara, that Achnosos Archim supersedes learning. And before we explain further, the Maril says when we say Achnosos Archim here, it doesn't mean bringing in poor people to your home, because he says that's not Achnosos Archim, that's Tzedaka. What it meant here by Achnosos Archim means even being wealthy people. Just even people in Baruch Hashem have what to eat and drink. Just bringing guests to your home, people need to have where to be. That is equal or greater than to learning. Why? So Mefarshim explained, because even though, as we're going to soon learn, that Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, there is no greater mitzvah than learning. However, and Mefarshim explained, since there is no greater mitzvah than learning, so a person has to learn all the time that he can. If so, he'll never do any mitzvah. That's why what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us is learn when you can, but it should not be at the expense and at the sake of doing mitzvahs. And they, based on that, they explain this machloikis, is it equal or greater to learning like this? Everybody agrees that Tachnosis Archim, according to the Pashup Shat, the way we're learning, the Chavetz Chaim learns that way, supersedes learning. Learning means Talmud Torah. What does Hashkamas Beis HaMedrash mean? Hashkamas Beis HaMedrash means that somebody has a shir. He has a shir kavua. Now, is that considered equal to regular learning? Or is that considered a separate mitzvah? If you'll say it's a mitzvah, that besides the mitzvah of learning, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, there's a specific mitzvah of being kavir itim, to have a specific time for your shir, so then it's a mitzvah separate from learning, and now we'll say Hachnosus Orchim is equal to Hashkom B'Speis HaMedrash. Hachnosus Orchim Ke Hashkom B'Speis HaMedrash. But if we'll say that the shir is just included in the general mitzvah of learning, and we're saying that learning gets pushed away for the sake of mitzvahs, that's why we say Hachnosus Orchim is greater than Hashkom B'Speis HaMedrash. Om Rav Yehuda Meran. Gol Hachnosus Orchim Mikabos Pnei Shechina. Greeting guest is even more than greeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ksiv, V'yoyim HaShem, Avraham Aminu was in the middle of talking to Hashem, and he tells him, V'yoyim HaShem, Im Noam Matzos Echein Be'enecha, he tells Hashem, if I have found favor by you, Al No Savra, please don't leave, I want to please go greet the guest, wait for me until I am available to greet them. Amar Rabbi Lezer, Bar Reish Loi Kemidus Hakadosh Baruch Hu Midus Basav Adam. See how much greater Hakadosh Baruch Hu is than people. Midus Basav Adam ain't cotton. Yochel Gaim LeGadon Hamte Etch Aver Lecha. If somebody is in the middle speaking to a great person, he wouldn't tell him, "Please wait until I finish with something else." Bil Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, "V'yoyim Hashem Im Namitzasi Avraham Avinu Told Hashem, please wait until I'm finished greeting the guest." So Mefarshim asked, from where did Avraham Avinu Taka know that Kabbalah Achnasus Orchim is greater than Pnei Shechina? So Meir Prem Shlana says that the same way Avraham Avinu knew all the mitzvahs, that he knew that how to do even Erev Tavshilin, his body was attuned to Kedusha, so he knew this also. However, the Vorka Rebbe says a very nice pshat. It says that Hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chama Natika. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out the sun on the day that Avraham Avinu was recuperating from his Mila. Why did he take out the sun? Because Avraham Avinu should not be bothered with guests. So the question is like this: why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to take out the sun? He should have just let Avraham Avinu talk to Hashem, and not be available for the guest. It's a proof that just because he would have been talking to Hashem, that wouldn't have meant that he's not available. What must have been? So must be that Kabbalah's Orchim is greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asks a question in the name of Rav Yaakov Yosef. He says, we know that the entire story with Malachim wasn't really Achnasas Orchim, because as Rashi quotes in the Chumash, the Malachim don't eat. They only made an appearance as if they eat. So we're learning Hachnosis Orchim is greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina from the way Avraham Avinu greeted his guest, but he had really great guests. They didn't eat anything. So he explains, the Gemara also says that whatever Avraham Avinu, the Medrash says that whatever Avraham Avinu did himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for his children himself. Whatever Avraham Avinu did through a messenger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did through messengers in future generations. Again, the same question. Avraham Avinu really didn't do anything. The guests, they didn't need anything. So he says, from here we see that the issue in Hachnosis Orchim is not what the guest receives. Rather, Hachnosis Orchim is based on what you do for your guest. The fact that your guests do or don't need it is not the point. The Mefarshim say, why are we so makbid that the Gemara should say, God lachnasas orchim yos mekabalas pnei shechina? So the Sfarim say that we say by Kiddush Levona, Emolei lezoch Yisrael, el lahagbu pnei avim shebishmayim pam achas b'chodesh tayim. If we could only greet Hashem once a month, it would be enough. So a person would say, just like it's enough to meet Hashem once a month, it's enough to greet guests once a month. So that's what the Gemara says, Gol achnas sarchem yoisr pnei kabals pnei shechina. Achnas sarchem is greater pnei shechina. Pnei shechina once a month may be enough, but guests have to be constantly. And the Slonma Rebbe, in conclusion, says a beautiful explanation in this Gemara. He says, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu so makmer achnas sarchem? So he says, Amar Rebbe Kiva, v'hafta l'reacha kamaicha, ze kla gadol b'tayra. Why the v'hafta l'reacha kamaicha is in the most important rule. Why is v'hafta l'reacha kamaicha such an important rule? So it says, because we are considered HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. So he says like this, if somebody treats you with respect, somebody gives you honor, you feel very good about that person. He says, how could you even feel better about the person if that person will treat your children with respect and honor? The people who treat our children right, then we honor the most. We are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we're treating his children right, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the person who treats his children right. And that's why Gol Hachnas Orchem Yosef Kabos Pnei Shechina. That's why he says that Rizal says that before a person begins to daven, he should be mekabel on himself the mitzvah of a haftal reacha kamoicha. What's pshat? This is the pshat. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we love his children, he will love us and do what we ask of him. Continues the Gemara. Amr of Yehuda Bashela, Amr of Amsi, Amr of Yochanan. Shishidvaram Adam Oichel Perisayim Balam Hazeh, Vakaren Kiyam Slalom Haba. There are six things that people eat, the fruit in this world, and the principle remains for the next world. Vela and Achnos Sorchem, bringing, receiving guests, Pikachoylem, visiting the sick, Ve'ian Tefila, concentrating by davening, Hashkom Space Emerish, getting up early to learn, Magalim Bonal Talmud Torah, raising children to learn Torah, Vadanas Kafer Chavschus, judging your fellow favorably. So Taisva says, we know that tzchar mitzvah b'hai amaleka, that we don't get tzchar for our mitzvahs in this world. So what does the Gemara mean that oichel perisayim b'olam hazeh? He says, pshat is that let's say a person is 50-50. So we don't know, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know if he should give him olam hazeh. So if he has these mitzvahs in amongst the mitzvahs he does, he gets olam hazeh. That's why Tosha says, it doesn't say oichel perisayim olam hazeh, it says oichel may perisayim from, but you get tzchar, the main tzchar is olam haba. And that's the nusach that Ri says we should say in the morning, not perisayim, we should say may perisayim. Any, ask the Gemara, is this correct? These are the things that people eat and they enjoy the fruit in this world. The principle remains in the next world. And what are they? Kibbutz of aim, respecting your parents, doing kindness, bringing peace between friends, and learning is the greatest. Hani in, so what do we see? These things, yet in the previous price, so we mentioned many other things. Answers the Gemara, Hani Nami Bahani Shaichi. The six principles listed by Rabbi Yochanan are included in what's included in this brisa. And Rashi explains, Hachnosus Orchim and Bika Choylem are included in Gemilas Chsadim, that's doing kindness. Davening with Kavona is also considered Chesed, because the greatest Chesed you could do for yourself is to daven, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do what you need. Hashkom Space of Medrash and Gidl Bonam with Talmud Torah is included in Talmud Torah. And Don L'Kaf Schus is judging people favorably is included in Havar Sholem. Tan Rabbonim. Hadon Haver L'Kaf Schus. If you judge your friend favorably, Don Ois Cholos Schus. You will be judged favorably. There was a story with a certain individual, Shiad Migilal Ha'elyon, who went down from the upper Golo. V'niska it's a balabayas echa b'dorim shalosh shonim, and he worked and he entered into a contract to work for somebody for 3 years. So the Rambam Mipanu explains that who was this person? It was Rabbi Kiva before he became the great Rabbi Kiva learning, and the person he was working by was Rabbi Elazar bar Hyrcanus. And says the Rambam Mipanu, from here we see that a person should not enter into a contract to work for somebody else more than 3 years. Erev Yom Kippur, on Erev Yom Kippur of the third year, Amalai, the worker told his boss, Ten li schari, please give me my wages, ve'elech v'ozenes ishtibane, so I could give panosa for my family. Amalai ein li maaz, I have no cash. Amalai ten li peris, he said, please give me fruit. Amalai ein li, I have none. Ten li karka, so give me land. Ein li, I have none. Ten li behema, give me animal. Ein li, I don't have. Ten li karm bekastis, so give me pillows, blankets. Ein li. Hifshu kev l'charev, so the employee took his belonging, whatever he had on his back, v'holach l'beis b'pach nefesh, and went home upset. Lach ha-regel, after Sukkos, not balabayis chor b'yodai, the balabayis took his wages, v'imay masi sholosh chamerim, with him 3 donkeys loads of goods, echad shemachah, one was food, v'echad shemashta, one was drink, v'echad shemim megodim, all sorts of delicacies, v'holach l'beis, and he came to visit his worker. After they ate and drank, he gave him his wages. So the employer said to the employee, when you asked me for your wages, and you said, I have no money. What do you suspect me? So the worker said, I considered, maybe you were able to get merchandise inexpensively, l'kachtaben. So the way the Sfas Emes explains the Gemara is like this. There is a halacha b'yoymai titin tzcharai. Wages must be paid to worker on the day they are due. However, and the halacha says the Sfas Emes is, that not only do you have to have the money obviously available on the day that you owe the wages, a employer has the obligation to make sure that he will have the money available when the wages will be due. However, he says, there's a difference between the actual day the wages are due and beforehand. The day the wages are due, that money can't be touched for anything else. They have to go for wages. However, in days that are before the wages are due, again, you really shouldn't touch that money unless a good deal comes your way, which is what the Gemara is saying here, I was able to get a good deal, then the halacha is you could touch that money. And when you ask me for animal, and I say, I have no animal. What do you suspect me? Maybe it was leased to others. When you said, give me land. And I told you I have no land. But why do you suspect me? Maybe it was leased to others. When you told you I have no produce, maybe they were not taken off Meiser. And at that point, Rabbi Kiva was still an Amoritz. And the halacha is, you're not allowed to give an Amoritz produce the Meiser wasn't removed from. And the Rambam Panah says, look at this. Even though Rabbi Kiva was an Amoritz, but he had such wonderful midos. And because he had these wonderful midos, he grew up, when he did realize the value of Torah, he was able to become the great Rabbi Kiva. When I told you I have no linen, what do you accuse me of? Maybe you went and you consecrated everything you owned, you were magdish everything. I make a shvu, I swear that that's what it has. Because idati nachasei, I was magdish all of my assets, b'shvil hurkenes b'ni, because my son hurkenes, shloras b'tari, wasn't learning well, and this is the way I was gonna hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would help that he would learn. When I came to my colleagues in the south, hitali kol nedarai, they annulled the nether, and that's why I'm able to give you your salary. Just like you judge me favorably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should judge you favorably. Another story. Tanan Hossam. There was a story with a Chassid Echad. Rashi says, whatever it says in Shas, a Chassid Echad, it's either Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba or Rabbi Yehuda ben Aloy. Shepada Riba Achz Bas Yisrael. He ransomed a young Jewish girl from captivity. Lamalim. Hishkiva Tachz Margalosov. He brought her into her room, into his room, to sleep in his room. The Mefarshim explained this is before there was an Issa Yichud. Lamacha, Yard the Taval, the next morning he went to the Mikvah, Vishonal Talmidim, and he learned with his Talmidim. When you saw me take her into my room, what do you accuse me of? We said perhaps there's a Talmud here who you don't know his status, and you didn't want to leave the girl not protected. When you saw me go to the mikveh, didn't you accuse me that I had relations with her, and that's how I was going to the mikveh? Maybe because you traveled, so you had an emission, and that's why you're going to the mikvah. Exactly what happened. Just like you judged me favorably, so HaKadosh Baruch should judge you favorably. The Chanuk Satara says, it's interesting. He says, here Rashi identifies who was the chesed echad, Rabbi Yehuda bar Abba, Rabbi Yehuda Eloi. So he asks, we have many times in Shas Chassid Echad, and Rashi doesn't say who it was. Why is it here that Rashi quotes him? So the Chanuk Sadar says, because here we see that this Chassid was makbid to go to the mikveh if he had an emission. Even though, as we've said a number of times, that Lacha is that we don't necessarily have to do that. Who is the man that says you do have to do it even now? Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. That's why Rashi quotes it was Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. There was a communal issue that Chazal, that the Chacham had to speak to a non-Jewish important woman. That all the important people in Rome lived, were by her, and the tznius wasn't so great there. Amr mi yelech, who should go? Amr le Rabbi Shua enelech. Rabbi Shua said, I will go. Halach Rabbi Shua v'talmidim. Rabbi Shua and his talmidim went. Kivin shigil pesach pesoy. When they got to the door of a house, cholot tefillah berichuk arba amis. He took off his tefillah 4 amis away. V'nichnas v'nohal adas v'fneim. He went and closed the door. There was yichud, but again the mafreshim say it was before there was the gzeir of yichud. Achas shiyot yar v'tav v'shanal talmidim. Then he went out and he learned to shiur his talmidim. When I took my tefillin, why do you accuse me of? We said that you don't want to bring a divrei kedusha, the tefillin, to a place of tumah, to her home, which is not the place of tznius. Says this Aryeh, perhaps the reason he took off his tefillin was because he would be Messiah das. Once he's talking to her, he couldn't think about the tefillin. So Shagas Aryeh says, so then he didn't have to take it off 4 amos away. He could have taken it off right by the door. When I close the door, what did you accuse me of? Maybe you have to speak about a confidential government issue and needs privacy. When I went to the mikveh after I spoke to her, what were you accusing me of? Perhaps some spittle spurted from her mouth onto your clothing. And the halach is that all non-Jewish women are considered like Zava, and that's why you felt you were Tamei. And even though the halach is that you're allowed to learn under these circumstances, you were makbid that you didn't want to learn Torah when you're Tamei. I'm going to avoid the kachaya, I swear this is what it was. Just like you judge me favorably, HaKadosh Baruch should judge you favorably. So it's interesting. Normally, the Rif only brings down halacha. Here, not only does the Rif bring down this entire Gemara, he brings down all 3 stories to show, say the Mefarshim, how important being dan l'kafschus, being judging favorably, is. The Morale asks, why does the Gemara have to say 3 stories? So Morale answers that the first story, there was only one thing that he was accusing him, that he wasn't paying the wages. In the second story, there were 2 things to accuse. One, that he was beyichud with the girl, and the second was that he went to the mikveh. And the third story was 3 things to accuse him: took off his tefillin, yichud, and that he had to go to the mikveh. And every story was more to accuse, and even though it was more to accuse, still they judged their Rebbe favorably. Now the Meiri says the halacha of being down kafschus is like this: if on every Jew we have an obligation to judge him favorably, that's when it could go either way. However, if things point in one direction more than the other, so if the person is a tzaddik, like the people in our Gemara, then even if it points more l'kaf choiv, the chiv is to dal l'kaf schus. On the other hand, when when by a regular person, if it's more to kaf chayiv, then you could go to kaf chayiv, says the Meiri. However, the Tiferes Shlomo says a beautiful pshat. He says, why is there such a great issue of being dan the kaf schos? He says, the way we judge people in this world has an ashpah, has an effect on the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at things from Shemayim. And he says a beautiful proof. He says, the Gemara in Masechta Chagiga, Daf Tezvov, says the following incident. Rabbi Bar Shaila met Eliyahu HaNavi, and he asked him, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? So he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting and learning and quoting what he hears in the name, what the Tanoim are saying in the Beis Medrash, except he's not mentioning anything that Rameya said. Why not from Rameya? Because Rameya learned from Acher. So Rabbi Bar Shaila said, Rameya, even though he learned from Acher, Toicha Okal, he only took the good, Klipa Zark, but he threw out the peel. He only took the good from Acher. So Yo said, oh, so now Kodesh Baruch Hu is also saying over in the name of Rameya. Ask the Tiferes Shlomo, did not Kodesh Baruch Hu know what Rameya was doing by learning by Acher? Why did he need Rav Bar Shaila to say it? So he says, from here we see that what a person says in this world does have an effect in Shemayim, and we judge people favorably in this world, it influences that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should judge us favorably min Shemayim. So we learned in the Mishnah, Mefanim Truma Tahira, we can clear away Truma that's tar. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, why not? It's not Muksa. Answers the Gemara, Leitzricha de Mancha B'yad Yisrael, that it's by a Yisrael who's not allowed to eat Truma. Maratay Mekivin de Lechazilei, since a Yisrael is not allowed to eat Truma, Osir, so it should be Muksa, Kamashmal, and Kivin de Chazilei, Koyin, since the Koyin could eat it, Shapadami, it's not Muksa. And that's the Halacha, Taisa says, that even though I may not eat something, since the Kohen may eat it, it's not considered muksa. And the Prima Godim takes this La'aloch L'maisa to the following situation. Let's say Pesach is on Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, and the Halacha is Yidala eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Are the matzahs muksa? So he says, since you could give those matzahs to eat to a child, so therefore they're not considered muksa. However, says the Prima Godim, that let's say a person has matzahs that he specifically designated for the Seder, that he wouldn't give to a child or to anyone else, those would then be maksa. Rav Kiva Eger speaks about what's the status of food on Yom Kippur. And he says, again, it should be muksa, because you can't eat the food, so it should be muksa. However, the Imri Bina, again, he disagrees and says that since you're allowed to give children to eat on Yom Kippur, food is not considered muksa on Yom Kippur. I saw an interesting shaila from Scheinberg. What about shoes on Yom Kippur? Since you're not allowed to wear regular shoes, will they be muksa on Yom Kippur? He says they're not muksa. Then we learned the mai. The mai is the produce brought from our ma'aretz that Chazal said we have to take off trumas and maizes from. Ask the Gemara, the mai olei chazalei, you can't eat the mai. Answer the Gemara, kim the boy mafkal nechsei. Since if you wanted, he could renounce ownership, he could give be mafka what he owns, v'hava oni, and then he'll be poor, v'chazilei, and he could eat the mai, hashtanam chazilei, that's why it's considered nam muksa. The tanan, mechil mesanim the mai, you could give poor people the mai, v'sachsanya the mai, or the soldiers that everybody had to give them food, you could give them the mai. V'amrav huna, tana b'shama imrim, ein mechil mesanim the mai, you're not allowed to give poor people deny, v'sachsanya demai, or the soldiers, v'salayim machilim v'sanayim demai, you can give poor people v'sachsanya demai. So Tosfos asks, why do I have to say that because I could give up, renounce ownership of what I own, and then I could eat? Just say, because maybe a poor person will come to me, and then I'll be able to give him demai. So Tosfos says, the Gemara wants to make a more powerful statement. The Gemara's statement is that not only may I be able to give it to somebody else, even I may eat it. That's why the Gemara says, Dibay Mafkal Nechsein. The Miri says, from here we see that on Shabbos, you're allowed to, something we've spoken about, that even though on Shabbos you're not allowed to be Magdish, you can't make something Hegdish, you can be Mafkar. Or Maisarishin Shnitl Trumasai, the Maisarishin that the Truma was removed from. The halach is that the right order in taking the Trumas and Maestros is first taking, you're supposed to take off Bikurim, then you're supposed to take off Truma Gedoyla, then you're supposed to take off Maeserishin, give it to the Levi, and from the Maeserishin, the Levi takes off Trumas Maeser, 10% of that, and gives it to a Kohen. So ask the Rav Pshita, if you have Maeserishin, who, that the Truma was removed from, why, it's fine, why does the Mishnah have to tell us that it can be moved? Answer the Gemara, like Tzricha, the Levi went and jumped ahead of himself, jumped ahead, and before, while it was still in the ears, before it was put into the house and processed completely, he took off the Meiser. The Nitlam Menachum's Meiser, and he took off the 10% that he has to give to the Kayin. However, like Nitlam Menachum Gedoyla, he did not take off the Truma Gedoyla. If a Levi went and took off the Meiserishin before it was processed, the halacha is part of Truma Gedoyla. There is no chiv of Truma Gedoyla on that tfua. Shneva roisim and Trumas Hashem, maisim and a maisa. You should take off 10%. Maisim and a maisa matulach. You only have to take off maiser. V'loy Truma Gedoyla v'trumas maisim and a maisa. But you don't have to also take off Truma Gedoyla. So here the Levi doesn't have to give Truma Gedoyla. Omler a papal abayi hachi afilu gdim b'kri nami lifter. Even if the Levi took the maiserishin before the person took off Truma Gedoyla, but if he jumped ahead and took it before it should be, they shouldn't have to take off Truma Gedoyla. Regarding your situation, says, Mikom Atan Asechem Turimu. Ask the Gemara Maris, why do I say that the halacha is that if the Levi took it off before it was processed, they took the Maeserishin before it was processed, then the halacha is that he only has to take off Trumas Maeser. But if he took it after it was processed, he have to take off both Truma Gedoyla and Trumas Maisa. Answers the Gemara, Hai Idgun. In this case, it's already processed, so there's a chiv to take off Truma Gedoyla, so he has to fulfill it. Hai Lo Idgun. Here it wasn't processed, so he only has to take off Trumas Maisa and not Trumas Gedoyla. Ask the Rishonim, it's obvious, if I have two psukim, one pasuk tells me that I only have to take off Trumas Maisa. One pasuk says I have to take off both. Doesn't it make sense to say that the case that I have to take off both is in the case where it was already processed? So the Tosfos Rosh answers that perhaps the Torah told the Levi to take off Truma Gedoyla only in the case where he took it off before piling. Where there he should have realized that the Truma Gedoyla hasn't been separated, so maybe the Torah told him he should separate it. But if he took it off after it was processed, he'll say, I thought the Truma Gedoyla was removed. That's why the Gemara had to say this teretz. A Maaser Sheni, that was redeemed. It can be moved. Ask the Gemara Pshita, of course it can be moved. It's not muksa. You could eat it. And the Gemara, like Tzrich Shnosens Karen, V'leinosens Chayim. The halacha is, if somebody redeems his only Maaser Sheni, he has to add a fifth. And here he did give the principal, but didn't give the fifth. Hakamashmalan, we're learning it, the Ein Chanish Ma'akev, the extra fifth does not hold back the redemption from taking effect. Vatermas Yavish, we learned dry termas can be moved because it's food for goats. Says Gemara Dafki Yavish, only when it's dried out, Avalachloi, not when it's moist. My Tama, why? Kivin the Morer, because in that state when it's moist, it's very bitter, and Loi Achlan, a goat will not eat it, and therefore it's Muksa.